So if you have your Bibles, we will be taking our text from Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning with verse 9 and reading through verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. And I want to talk to you tonight about something that God desperately desires for his people. It's one thing that Satan fears and works day and night to undo. It's something for which Jesus himself prayed for just before he went to the cross. And it's one thing that the Bible says will convince people that the church has something that the world does not. What am I talking about? I am talking about unity. Somebody say unity.
Unity.
Our text says two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor.
Yes.
For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls.
Yes.
For he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I'm going to be ministering tonight on the thought, stronger together.
Amen.
Stronger together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. And sir, we thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. Thank you, God, for all of these men who are hungry for you, thirsty for you, wanting to hear a word from you. And thank you, dear God, for bringing us together for such a time as this. For God, I do believe it is a moment. I believe it is a strategic moment in time, and you desire to minister to your people. And Father, I ask that you open our eyes that we may see wondrous things in your word, and give unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. And for it, Father, we'll be eternally grateful. In the matchless name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, stronger together. Stronger together. Now, down through history, many successful people have understood the power of unity. Publius Syrus said, where there is unity, there is always victory. Helen Keller said, alone we can do so little. Together we can do so much. Henry Ford said, coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Mother Teresa said, I can do things you cannot. You can do things I cannot. Together we can do great things. Friedrich von Schiller said, even the weak become strong when they are united. And there's an old African proverb that states that when spiders unite, they can tie down a lion. So what did all of these people throughout history understand and know? They understood that we are better together. We are unbreakable together, and we are stronger together. Can somebody say amen in the house? The motto for the state of Kentucky is, united we stand, divided we fall. And this is true not only in the state of Kentucky, but in every level of society. And it is most definitely true in the church, the body of Christ. The psalmist said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. But human history is a story of sin's disruption of God's ordained unity. Sin disrupted unity in the Garden of Eden. And it was ultimately the sin of pride that disrupted the unity at the Tower of Babel. And sin has disrupted unity ever since. Even a quick glance at Genesis chapter 1 demonstrates that God is a God of unified order with a unified created universe. And God created man to work in unity. So what is unity? What is unity? Well, before we start talking about what unity is, let's first talk about what unity isn't. Unity is not union. Somebody say unity. Is not union. Say it again. Unity is not union. You see, you can be in union and still not have unity. How many of you have ever heard of a marriage union? Come on. So if unity was union, there would never be divorces. Are you with me? And some people are in a marriage union, but they are unequally yoked. Am I right about it? And people say marriages are made in heaven. Well, so are thunder and lightning. You with me? The man said, I got married for the I bill, and then it become an or bill. So now I want a new bill. You see, there's a difference between unity and union. There's a difference between unity and uniformity, where everyone looks alike and thinks alike. You see, God is not a cookie cutter God. God doesn't expect every one of us to be exactly alike. He doesn't expect every one of us to have the exact same opinions. But we must find unity in the midst of our diversity. Unity demands that we must find ways to where we can integrate our differences into a symphonic whole. Can somebody say amen in the house? So unity is not union, unity is not uniformity, and unity is not unanimity, where everyone ought to always agree on every little detail of every little thing. Listen to me tonight. If you can't unify with a group or unite with someone unless they agree with you 100% of the time, then you're going to be one lonely individual. Come on, somebody. A man was lost at sea, and he landed on a deserted island. And many years later, they finally discovered him. And they went up to him, and they said, are you the only one on this island? And he said, absolutely. I've been over every square inch of this island, and I am the only one on this island. And so they said, then tell me, if you are the only one on this island, then why are there three huts? Why are there three huts if you're the only one on this island? He said, well, the first hut is my house. That's where I live. And they said, okay, we got that. What's the second one? And he said, that's where I go to church. They said, okay, well, what about the third one? And then he rolled his eyes and he said, oh, that's where I used to go to church. And he was the only one on the island. You see, there is interpersonal conflict, but there is also intrapersonal conflict. There may be times in your life when you don't even agree with yourself, much less your spouse or your best friend 100% of the time. Don't get me wrong here tonight. We must agree on the core issues of the faith, And there are some things that we should fight for, and there are some things that we should even give our lives for. But real unity allows people to respect differences of opinion on lesser matters without being disrespectful. Can somebody say amen? St. Augustine said it like this. He said, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. But in all things, charity. Can somebody give God a praise in this place? We may not always see everything eye to eye, but we can still walk in unity, and we can still uphold the core issues of the faith, and we can still stand together because God knows the times demand it. So if unity is not uniformity, and unity is not union, and unity is not unanimity, then what is it? I'm glad you asked.
Yes, sir.
I'm like Paul Harvey, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. What is it? What is unity? It's a oneness of heart.
Yeah.
A similarity of purpose. Uh-huh. And an agreement on truth.
Yes.
A oneness of heart. A similarity of purpose. And an agreement on truth.
Yes.
And something magnificent happens with brethren. Dwell together in unity.
Yes,
the psalmist said it like this. He said, it is like the precious ointment.
Yes.
Upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard.
Oh, yeah.
That went down to the skirts of his garments.
Yes,
it is like the dew of Hermon. And as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there, somebody say there. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. And folks, if God has commanded a blessing there, how many of you think it's time that we get there? I said if God has commanded a blessing there, it's time that we get there. I'm telling you that there is a commanded blessing, not a suggested blessing, but a commanded blessing when brethren dwell together in unity. When there is a oneness of heart, where there is a similarity of purpose, when there is an agreement on truth. Now the theme for this conference is iron sharpens iron. But how many of you know you ain't going to be sharpening anything in isolation? We're not going to sharpen anything without a oneness of heart. We're not going to sharpen anything without a similarity of purpose. We're not going to sharpen anything without an agreement on truth. And I have never seen in all of my days our country so divided. Republicans and Democrats are so divided, I don't know if they'll ever be able to get together and do anything for the people of this country. The Methodist Church is so divided that they just recently split over the issue of homosexuality. But I'm coming here to let you know, and I'm glad that it is on video, that God didn't join Adam and Steve. God joined Adam and Eve. Can somebody say amen in this house? You've got other churches that are divided over music, traditional or contemporary. Hymns or Hillsong, Bethel or Blessed Assurance, Elevation or Everybody Will Be Happy Over There. They're divided over masks or no masks, over Trump or no Trump, over suits and ties or skinny jeans with bomber jackets. And despite the cry of Rodney King, it seems that we still can't get along. I'm reminded how Mark Twain said that he wanted to do an experiment, and he put a dog and a cat together in a cage to see if they could make it work, and they did. He was shocked. So then he put a bird and a pig and a goat in a cage to see if they could make it work, and with a few adjustments, they did. And so he thought, well, if I can put a cat and a dog in a cage, and they made it work, and if I can put a bird and a pig and a goat in a cage, and they made it work. Now what I want to do is try a Baptist.
Yeah, come on.
a Presbyterian, and a Catholic. And before long, there wasn't anything living. Everything had been destroyed. But in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, Jesus knew the importance of unity when he said every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. That's why, folks, Satan's strategy to defeat the church is to divide and conquer. His motive is division. His method is deception. And his mission is destruction. He wants to deceive us so that he might divide us and therefore destroy us. But I've come all the way from Frankfort, Kentucky to let you know tonight that if we are going to be victorious as a church, and if we are going to accomplish everything that God intends for us to accomplish, and if we are going to be everything that God has called us to be, then we're going to have to come together. We're going to have to work together. We're going to have to stick together, because we're better together. We're unbreakable together, and we are stronger together. Can somebody give God a shout of praise in this place? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Look at your neighbor and say, we're better together. We're unbreakable together, and we are stronger together. I read about a man that one time went out on a boat deep sea fishing, but the man couldn't swim. And he was out there fishing, and he caught this humongous fish. And he was so excited that he tried to pull it in, but the fish pulled him overboard. And here he was in the middle of the ocean, and he couldn't swim. So he was flailing his arms and his legs, and he said, help, help me, help me. I can't swim, I can't swim. So the captain of the boat went over calmly and grabbed the man by the arm. And he yanked his arm to get him back in the boat. But the man's arm came off, because it was a prosthetic arm. And so the man was out there flailing with one arm and two legs. Help, 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 I'm drowning. I can't swim, I can't swim. So the captain went over and grabbed him by the leg. And then he jerked the leg to get the man in the boat, but the leg came off because it was a wooden leg. So the man was out there flailing with one arm and one leg, saying, help me, help me. I can't swim, I can't swim. So then the captain went over and grabbed the man by the hair. And he gave the man a big pull. But the man's hair came off because it was a toupee. So the man was out there bald with one arm and one leg, saying, help me, help me, help me. I can't swim, I can't swim. But by that time, the captain of the boat was frustrated and irritated. And he said, mister, if you don't stick together, I can't help you. Come on, somebody. I come in here to tell you tonight that if we're going to make it, we're going to have to stick together. If we're going to make it, we're going to have to work together. If we're going to make it, we're going to have to come together, because we are better together. We are unbreakable together, and we are stronger together. Can somebody give God praise? Yes, hallelujah. But you see, we not only have to work in unity, but we have to work at unity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Somebody say in unity.
At unity.
We not only have to work in unity, but we have to work at unity. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 3. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring. Somebody say endeavoring. To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice that word, endeavoring. That implies that we've got to make an effort to be unified. Unity is something that we got to work at. Unity is something we got to put our, we got to bring our lunch pail. We got to put our hard hat on if we're going to have unity in our church, if we're going to have unity in our city, if we're going to have unity in our district. Unity requires a lot of work. And it says that we are to endeavor to keep the unity.
Yes.
So this is telling us that unity is something that must be guarded.
Uh-huh.
It's something that must be cherished. It's something that must be protected. We must endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And how many of you know that churches have split over the stupidest things? Listen to this. In the 1800s, there was just two deacons in a small Baptist church in Mayfield County, Kentucky. And these two deacons hated each other and always opposed one another. It didn't matter what it was, they opposed each other. And on a particular Sunday, one deacon put up a small wooden peg in the back wall so the preacher could hang his hat on. But the other deacon didn't know about it. And when he found out about it, he was outraged that no one had consulted him. And so the church took sides, and eventually the church split, and a new church was formed, departing from that church, and this group called themselves the Anti-Peg Baptist Church. The Anti-Peg Baptist Church. You see, churches have split over the stupidest things.
Yeah.
They split over the building. They split over missions. They have split over music. And yes, they have even split over pegs in walls. Churches have split even over the color of the carpet. One man got up at the business meeting and said, well, if it's blue, I'm through. And another man got up and said, well, if it's red, you're dead. But T.H. White said this. He said, the destiny of man is to unite, not to divide. He said, if you keep on dividing, you end up with as a collection of monkeys throwing nuts at each other out of separate trees. And I want you to know that there's too much monkey business that's going on in our churches. And it's time that we quit monkeying around, because too much time and too much energy has been spent on rivalries and feuds. And too much is at stake for us to be divided. B.L. Moody said this. He said, I have never known the Spirit of God to work where the Lord's people were divided. I'm telling you tonight that too much is at stake for us to be divided. There are too many people who need to be saved. There are too many people who need to be healed. There are too many people that need to be delivered. There are too many people that need to be set free for us to be divided over petty, insignificant nothings. But I'm coming here to declare to you tonight that the calling of every congregation is to be one that lives in harmony, working together with one heart and one soul, with a united vision that causes us to be perfectly joined together, not allowing offenses to separate us, because we are one in spirit and we are one in purpose. Can somebody say amen in the house of God tonight? When F.B. Meyer pastored Christ Church in London, he pastored at the same time and in the same city as Charles Spurgeon, which was at Metropolitan Tabernacle, and G. Campbell Morgan, which was at Westminster Chapel. Can you imagine that ministerial alliance? F.B. Meyer, Charles Spurgeon, and G. Campbell Morgan. But Meyer said this. He said that he would often battle the pride that was formed in his heart against Spurgeon and Morgan. And he said, and I quote, I find in my own ministry that supposing I pray for my own little flock, God bless me. God fill my pews. God send my flock a revival. He said, I miss the blessing. But as I pray for my big brother, Mr. Spurgeon, on the right hand, I wish I had somebody to help me preach tonight. But when I pray for my big brother, Mr. Spurgeon, on the right hand side of my church, God bless him. And my other big brother, Campbell Morgan, on the other side of my church, God bless him. He said, I'm sure to get a blessing without even praying for it. For the overflow of their cups fills my little bucket. I wish I had somebody here tonight. What was F.B. Meyer doing? I'll tell you what he was doing. He was endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What F.B. Meyer realized was this, that unity is the place of commanded blessing. He realized that there's enough lost people in his town to fill every church pew and every church in London. And folks, I come in here to let you know that if we would just get rid of the envy, if we would get rid of the jealousy, and if we would get rid of the pride and start praying for one another and start sharpening one another instead of fighting one another, then we would all be blessed. I'm telling you tonight, if we want to be victorious and accomplish all that God has called us to do and be everything that God has called us to be, then we're going to have to come together. We're going to have to work together. We're going to have to stick together because we are better together. We are unbreakable together, and we are stronger together. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Paul said, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Yes, sir.
But then that's not where he stopped, because he went on to verse 4. He told them that they had some things in common, and he put them in remembrance of the things that they had in common. Because in verse 4, he said, there is one body.
There is.
And one Spirit.
Yes.
And you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all, one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. I said one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. I want to say it one more time. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. And I'm reminded what A.W. Tozer said in The Pursuit of God. He said, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? Come on, somebody. Even though he said 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other, they are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard, to which each one must individually bow. You know why Christians can't get along? You know why Christians can't get together? You know why Christians can't get unified? It's because they're failing to understand that we have all been tuned to the same fork. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. We're all tuned to another standard, to which each of us must individually bow, because we're all servants of under one master. We're all disciples under one teacher. We're all soldiers under one captain. And we're all subjects under one Lord. He is preeminent. And he is paramount. And it is his lordship that gives tone to our character. It's his lordship that gives firmness to our testimony. It's his lordship that gives steadfastness to our convictions. It is his lordship that gives direction in all things. My friends, I submit to you tonight that we need to realize that we are automatically tuned to each other because we are all tuned to the same form. We've heard it said time and time again, there's strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. No, there's not. It's not strength just in numbers. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Proof. One brick by itself is absolutely worthless. Right? One brick by itself is absolutely worthless. But many bricks united together. United together can make a wall. One shingle by itself is practically worthless. But many shingles united together can make a roof. One link by itself is practically worthless, but many links united together can make a chain. So we've heard that it said that there's strength in numbers. Well, that really isn't true. There's only strength in numbers if those numbers are united. You can have shingles all over the lawn, but you don't have a roof.
Right.
You can have bricks all over the front lawn of the church, but you don't have a wall. You can have all kinds of leaves strewn out all over the sanctuary, but you don't have a chain. It's only when those things are united together that you have something worth having.
Yeah.
And Thomas Paine said, it is not in numbers, but in unity that our great strength lies. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's only strength in numbers when those numbers are united.
Yeah.
How many of you have ever seen that comic strip, Peanuts? Mm-hmm. Lucy and Linus. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Well, one day, Lucy entered into the living room and she demanded that Linus change the television channel. And Linus said, what makes you think that you can just waltz up in here and start casting orders and start taking over? And so Lucy looked at him and said, I tell you what, these five fingers right here. And she said, individually, they don't look like much. But when they come together, and when they come together like this, and when they unite together like this, then they become a force that is terrible to behold.
Yeah.
And Linus looked at her and said, what channel do you want? And then he looked at his hands and he said, I wonder why you guys can't get together like that. I come in here to let you know that the devil, folks, has had the remote for too long. I said the devil has had the remote for too long. And I'm telling you, it's time for us to change the channel. And individually, we may not look like much, but when we get together, when we get united, when we get organized, it will be like Lucy and her fist. We will form a weapon that is terrible for the devil to behold, because Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, the ecclesia, a called out assembly. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm coming here to let you know that the devil is no match for a unified church. So let us endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's come together. together. Let's work together. Let's stick together. Because we are better together. We are unbreakable together. And we are stronger together. Can somebody give God a praise offering in this place? Hallelujah. We're stronger together.
Yes, we are.
And listen, our country is in a mess. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that our country is in a mess. Our schools are in a mess. In Frankfort, Kentucky, they're bringing kitty litter boxes to school now because of the furries. Somebody needs to set those kids down and say, listen, baby, you ain't a cat.
Yeah.
And you're not a turtle. Yeah. And you're not a fish. And you're not a puppy dog. But you have been created in the image and in the likeness of Almighty God. But what's going on? The devil is having a heyday. Why? Because you can't get the churches together. You can't get all the Christians together. You can't get all the Bible-believing people together. But let me tell you what would happen if all of the churches would come together. And all the Bible-believing people would come together. And they'd show up down there at the schoolhouse. Or they'd show up at the school board meeting. Let me tell you what would happen. We would put the devil on the run in our cities and in our communities. Why? We ain't going to do anything as long as we're isolated. And you're doing your little thing and I'm doing my little thing. And this one's doing his little thing. And this one's doing his little thing. It's only when we come together that God has commanded that blessing. And I'm telling you that there is too much at stake in our country and in our schools and our neighborhoods and in our homes for us to remain silent. And I want to know if there's any man in this house that will raise your hands to heaven right now and say, enough is enough. It's time for us to put the devil on the run. And it's time for us to come together and make a difference in the kingdom of God. You see, there's too much isolation in the body of Christ. Too many long rangers think you got it all together. You don't need anybody else.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. We don't have it all together. But together, we have it all.
Yeah.
I said we don't have it all together. But together, we have it all.
Yes, sir.
What would happen if everyone came to prayer meeting? Not just a few links, but if everybody came prayer meeting, what would happen? What would happen if everyone died? What would happen if everyone supported?
Yeah.
What would happen if everyone showed up? I'll tell you what would happen. We would make a difference in the lives of our communities because we will be experiencing the blessing that the psalmist talked about. That comes as a result of being unified together behind a divine purpose of God.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
And gentlemen, it's not a mistake that you're here in this place tonight. It's not a mistake that you've got several churches here together. But we're going to have to do things together. We're going to have to unite together. And we're going to have to put the devil on the run. And the devil is having a heyday. But if Christians in America would come together, we would create the godly change in our country that this world needs. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand to our feet tonight. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. If that's you here tonight, and you say, Brother Jimmy, I want to join together. I don't want to be a lone ranger. I don't want to go out and just do my own thing. I don't want my church just to be out here on its own and not fellowshipping with other churches. I don't want to be a pastor that's a lone ranger that's not fellowshipping with other pastors. I don't want to be a man that's not fellowshipping with other men and fellowshipping with other men's groups. I want to join together. There's too much division. I travel this country and get in district and district and see it and hearing all kinds of stories. Well, there's so much division in churches and so much division in districts while the devil is back laughing. Because he knows if we get united, we'll put him on the run.
Yes.
And I want to know if there's any man here tonight that'll step out of your seat and that will come to this front and link arms with your brothers in Christ.